nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited to be joined by my friend Adam McLaughlin. And today we are going to specifically talk about social media in regards to social media teams. One is, how does that help you as a social media director or minister or manager, whatever your role is as a social media director? But then also, how is empowering others and maximizing your team, how does that help your overall mission on social media? How can you utilize them best? And so that's what we talk about. And I'm really excited because Adam's got a ton of great knowledge on this. And again, from in regards to social media teams, in case you don't know his backstory, is Adam was running a social media team at one of his previous churches, and he did it all through volunteers. And so he's got a ton of experience on this and a ton of great insights. So I'm really excited to have him on. So without any further ado, let's get in the interview right now with Adam McLaughlin and talking about maximizing and empowering your social media teams for effective communication. All right, with me right now is my friend Adam McLaughlin. Adam, how are you?
Hey, doing well, Tom. I'm doing even better now that we get to hang out today.
Oh, gosh, you're such a kiss-up, you know, on that thing. And listen, you don't have anything to kiss up to. I have to kiss up to you all the time. Like, hey, you've got all this great knowledge and everything like that. So,
I just make things up. I just say it with confidence. We're good.
Oh, there you go. That's right. I remember some guy said to me years ago, he said, just walk in there like you know you own the room, and people will be like, yep, okay, that guy knows where he's going. You know, so like if he's not supposed to get the free buffet bar at the hotel, he wouldn't know because you just act like you know what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, fun fact. So most people don't realize this about me, at least, you know, in church communications world. But I actually studied music in college.
What, and, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a drummer, and I also love writing music. And one of my jazz teachers told me, if you're improvising and you hit a wrong note, hit it again, but louder. And that makes it sound on purpose. So this is just how I live my life, right? Yeah. I just go hitting wrong notes, and then I hit them louder.
Yeah. Hey, it's good life lessons there that you go, that you share. And so we're not just talking about social media today. We're talking about life lessons, and
yes,
give us a great one.
There we go.
Hey, well, I've been following you for quite some time, obviously, and you and I are friends. And so I kind of know what's been going on, but some people who are listening to this podcast today may not know what's going on with Adam McLaughlin. So share a little bit about what's new with you.
Yes. So for those who I am introducing myself to, hey, great to meet you. My name's Adam McLaughlin, and my wife and I, we travel full-time with our three boys. They are currently 10, 7, and 5 years old, and I say currently because they keep getting older.
And go figure.
I know. And then you have to keep track of, like, one of their numbers changes, but the other number doesn't, because oddly enough, they don't all share the same birthday, which is really right. Kind of irritating, right? Like, it would be a lot nicer if they all just changed ages the same time. But yeah. Anyway,
and it would save on birthday parties and everything. You just throw one big birthday party.
Exactly. A single cake that nobody ever finishes eating anyway. So you chop it up 15 ways. Anyway, we travel full time and we visit churches along the way. We've got a travel trailer and we travel through Canada and the U.S. I was born and raised in Canada. And so pretty cool experience getting to see a lot of North America traveling full time.
Yeah. So where are you exactly right now?
Currently, I am in South Carolina, nice. And we are hanging out with Carl Barnhill from 1230 Media. So a little bit of pit stop at his house.
Who is that? I have no idea who that guy is.
No, Carl Barnhill from 1230 Media. It's not like he has 25,000 followers on his podcast or anything like that. So probably a bunch of people listening will know exactly who Carl is. So we're hanging out this week and creating some content, some blog posts, and some video, and all kinds of fun stuff, and kind of a pit stop before we head back to Canada to get ready for Christmas.
That is awesome. Now, here's a question. Because you're Canadian, do you celebrate the Canadian Thanksgiving or the American Thanksgiving?
Listen, if I know this is audio only, but Tom, you and I are chatting on video. This belly does not limit itself to a single Thanksgiving. And so in October, we celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving. Okay. And in November, we celebrate the real Thanksgiving. Absolutely, we celebrate both.
Yeah, see, that's great. I love the fall for a variety of different reasons, but when you got Halloween with tons of candy, Thanksgiving with delicious food, and then Christmas with just celebration after celebration after and then New Year's, I mean, it's just an epic lineup of great.
Right. It's no wonder we need resolutions in January. Like, right. That sounds like perfect timing.
Yes, that's right. That's right. All right. So we're going to talk about something you're doing a little bit later, because I think it's really awesome what you've got working on. But today I want to talk a little bit about social media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's your opinion on social? No, just kidding. No. But I want to talk
about
more.
It's a passing fad. Yeah, it's going away in the next year or so.
Yes. It definitely is going away. I mean, but, you know, social media constantly is evolving, and there's always constantly new things that are popping up and things to go. And one observation that I see is that because I follow a bunch of marketers as well, one thing I notice is that whenever something new comes out, people tend to chase after that. You know, again, I don't know if you remember this, but Meerkat, the big live streaming that was released at South by Southwest, and then came Periscope that got bought out by Twitter, and then comes, you know, IGTV. You got all this other, I mean, a bunch of different things that have happened over the time. And all these people come out, and then all these people chase after it. Like, we've got to get on this and be the main thing on this. I feel like we chase after it, and then we just get over inundated with stuff. You know, what's your opinion on, you know, social media and how you as a church or even as a minister should approach social media as a whole, like getting involved with everything or really kind of trimming down what you're doing?
Yeah, so I think there's something to be said for being accessible everywhere. So I would recommend, you know, having a TikTok profile and having a Twitter profile and an Instagram profile and a LinkedIn page for your church and a Facebook page for your church. But I think a tool like, you know, Hootsuite or something allows you to be everywhere. And if somebody sends a message, it goes to a single place. But as far as content creation, I would much rather see quantity go out the window. Like, quality of posts and content should matter way more than quantity. Okay. And now there's some ways you can do that. And, you know, if this was a book, this would be like the introduction where you give the high level overview of everything. And then we're going to dig in a little more, but you know, I would say that as much as possible, figure out ways to repurpose content across multiple channels. But I would much rather see a church doing Facebook really, really, really well than have a church that's doing three or four platforms really poorly.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you on that. And that's where, you know, to be honest, I've done a lot of reevaluation of our church social pages. So we have multiple campuses on our campus, at our church. And I kind of oversee a lot of it, although what I've been doing is trying to hand off to other people. And you and I have talked about this before, but just because you own a lot of the platforms doesn't mean that you have to specifically run each platform. You had, at one time when we were on the podcast, you told me that you and someone directly involved with Instagram, and you gave them the general overview, but you weren't involved with Instagram. Is that correct, right?
Yeah, so at the church that I was at, we had 8 people on our social media team, not staff. Sorry, I was the only staff, and the rest were volunteers. But one of them ran, so we had our Facebook page for the church. We had a Facebook page for youth. Then we had Twitter pages for both of them, so that's 4. Mm-hmm. And then we had Instagram for youth and Instagram for the church, so that's 7. And then the 8th, my math is messed up. But we actually had 2 people who ran our Instagram account. So one person was specifically in charge of stories, and one person was specifically in charge of what happened on the timeline. So anyway, yeah, we had eight people. Seven of them were volunteers, and then myself, who would run our social media.
Yeah, and see, I like that idea of, again, when you're thinking, again, I'm not an Instagram person, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but I'm not an Instagram. I love Twitter for a variety of reasons, and I love Facebook, although I've become less and less infatuated with Facebook recently, but that's neither here nor there. But what was extremely helpful for me as the primary, as the lead of the social media team, was that I found people that could really take over different parts of it. And now I've just really given them authority and power to do it. Now I still direct and still guide them, but it's good in that level. And so I'm able to not be as overwhelmed. And so when something new does come out, I can explore it, but I don't have to dig into it immediately. Yeah. On that. And so I think that's been very helpful for me. And I think have found the same.
Yeah, and then what we would do is we would give out a weekly schedule of what we were going to talk about on our social media channels. Mm. So, for instance, let's say Monday we're going to talk about small groups. And so each person who ran a social media channel for the church, like whoever was running Twitter or whoever was running the Instagram stories or the Instagram timeline, they could post however they wanted about small groups. So somebody would post a video. Mm-hmm. Somebody would post like a selfie video. Somebody would post a video clip of our pastor talking about small groups. Somebody else would post like a picture of people having coffee together and like type in a quote about small groups. There would be all these different ways that people were creating content about small groups, and that's where they got to have their creativity. But the direction came from us about what we were going to post that day. So the cool thing is, if somebody went on Facebook and then later they go on Twitter and then later they go on Instagram, they're going to see about small groups all day long on Monday.
Yeah.
But in all different ways, like all different contexts. And so, you know, that's how we were able to give the reins to the social media to a person who wants to have creativity and wants to come up with new ideas and also still be able to direct and guide the conversation. So we had about, I think we had like 20 or 30 different kinds of topics. Cool. You know, small groups, an upcoming concert. We all would talk about youth sometimes. Sometimes we need volunteers in kids ministry. Or we would talk about the podcast, or we would talk about rewatching our Sunday broadcast or the Sunday sermon. All these different things. And none of those are even starting to get into event-specific details, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll say, you know, on Thursday, we're going to talk about the Christmas concert. And then give them a Dropbox of all different files, or they can create their own. And then they get to figure out how they're going to use each of those social channels.
See, this is great. And that's great because then you're not necessarily, now I'm sure you as the lead would then, you know, get involved and check up and see how things were going, but it didn't mean that you had to be monitoring it 24/7, correct?
Right. So, typically when I would hand over the reins to social media to somebody, which is a pretty daunting thing, right?
Yeah.
Because they are representing your church brand. They're also representing you as the communications person on staff when your pastor says, you know, how come my name was spelt wrong on that quote or something, right? So you don't just hand this over. But what I would do is I would start out and say, hey, we would love your help on Instagram. I love what you're doing on your personal Instagram stories.
Yeah.
And we have an event coming up in 2 weeks. And I would really love it if you were live at the event that day doing Instagram stories for us. Are you interested in helping out? And if you're not, do you know somebody who may be? So I would give them a really set, defined timeline. Maybe it's 2 or 3 days leading up to the event, or maybe it's just the actual event, and then monitor them very, very closely during that whole process, right?
Yes.
The next step up from there would be like, okay, you know, that was great. Now, coming up for Easter, we're going to want to do probably a month of promotion leading up to Easter. So we're going from like 3 days to 2 weeks to a month. And then you're watching them pretty closely over that month, right? Yeah. You're checking in every day to see what's happening. And you're offering them great feedback. So for our team, every Monday, I would send an email where I would review each of the posts from the past week. And I'd say, this is good. This was good. This was great. This could be different. This needed improving. Or check out what so-and-so did on another channel and maybe consider repurposing that for you. Yeah. And we would go from, like, if you imagine an upside down funnel, right? So first we would, or like a triangle, right? We would start, we would give them really, really tight parameters and watch them really, really closely. And as that started to work, then the funnel gets wider at the bottom to the point where I wasn't even really participating in some of those social media channels in a big way. I would check them once in a while for sure. And I would love to see what people were coming up with. And of course, our weekly reviews, I would send them some feedback. But I wasn't in the... I started out probably close to what could be considered a micromanager. Mm-hmm. And that quickly had to turn into, you know, now I see what you can do. Here's the reins. Go for it.
And see, this is awesome because having this team in place, again, you're empowering other people, you know, creating new opportunities for people to serve in your community. You're picking the right people, again, because I'm not an Instagram guy. I had to have someone that helps with Instagram, and the guy's killing it. He's knocking it out of the park, and it's great. And the girl who's helping me with Facebook right now is doing the exact same thing on Facebook. And so these guys are really feeling empowered. They feel like they're contributing. But then with having this team, it frees you up to do other things. So like by having a team in place, how were you freed up to do different things? Like what were you freed up to do more when you have this?
Well, so one of the things that we realized is that one of the most successful formats on virtually any social media channel is video. And so what we started doing was, and video is also very time intensive, right? If you're going to clip out pieces of the sermon from Sunday, or you're going to set up the studio and do an interview, or you know, whatever that might be, right? Video is pretty time intensive. Mm-hmm. And so what having that delegation and that social media happening off my plate allowed me to do more content creation. One of those pieces was video, so that I could now equip each of those people on each of those channels with more video content. So we would have a shared Dropbox that we would use. And at any point in time, they could go to a folder in Dropbox. That's what we would call evergreen content. So just like an evergreen tree, at any point in time, you can grab this and post this and it's good, right? And then we would also have like time specific content. So this is the series we're talking about, or this is the event we're coming up to promote, or those pieces of the puzzle. And so we would just load that up into Dropbox, and they knew that if any point in time they wanted extra content, or they were hitting a wall, or something came up at school or work or whatever, and they didn't have the extra time to go create their own kind of content, they could pull something from Dropbox.
Yep. And see, and it really goes to, again, of this idea of when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And when you're saying no to something, you're saying yes to something else. You know, in the sense of when you're empowering other people to help you with social media, you're able then to work more on content creation, because like you said, video stuff is time intensive. You've been doing a lot or a little, and whether you're doing a quick little iPhone type video or you're using a real legit camera, it is still time intensive with editing and stuff. And you're able to work on content. I love the evergreen content, because that is so important to have, because I have pieces of evergreen content that I use for our church, but also for me personally, that I'm able to reintroduce in the different aspects. And that is just such great tools, or I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but it's just great to have as a resource to be able to use when you're posting on social media.
Right. And so like, you know, for instance, through the year, you might chop up your clips of the sermon, and pastor tells a story about he went into a donut shop, right?
I love donuts.
Yeah, me too. And then a lot, actually. And then once, let's say on National Donut Day, you pull that video out of your evergreen content file. Rather than on National Donut Day, remember, you say, hey, remember that illustration pastor gave about donuts? It was hilarious last spring sometime. We should watch all those messages looking for that 3-minute clip. Right?
Yeah. So,
kind of going along the way, what we would do is with our social media team, as they would be creating things or as they would be creating images or creating selfie videos, we're always thinking about, is there a way this could ever be repurposed in the future? And so you post it on Instagram, and then we want that original file, you know, made in WordSwag or Adobe Spark or Canva or something, so we can put it back in that evergreen folder, maybe for another channel or maybe for that same channel, but at a different point in time. So that all takes a little bit more effort now, but it can save you tons of effort down the road. Like, imagine you have an evergreen folder of 10 stories that your pastor has told about his wife. And now come up to the week leading up to Valentine's Day, you have all kinds of stuff that you can throw in there, and people get to know your pastor and they get more comfortable with him. And people who don't come to your church get to kind of see what your church is like, and they get to hear a fun story. They get to relate to that. So it takes a little more effort now, but you build this recurring library of content and get to repurpose it later.
Yeah, that's really great. That's great. So again, as you're leading this team and you're kind of getting through this, and you've got time now on your hands, I think one of the things too, then is what I've discovered too, is that I'm able, back to one of my original questions I asked you about chasing after social channels that maybe you shouldn't. And so let's go back to this thing real quick of, you know, again, there's the big channels that you quote unquote should be invested in, Facebook and Instagram. And then there's YouTube that's hot right now. Then again, there's my favorite, Twitter, which I love on a variety of levels. But again, as we talked about, Meerkat and Periscope and IGTV, there's always that new thing and the need to go and be on the front end of that. What would you recommend to a social media manager who's getting all this stuff and all these new things coming out? What kind of advice would you share with them as they're kind of debating whether or not to chase this stuff?
Yeah, so I would be in the look before you leap category. So, you know, stick your toe in the water and find out if it's 4 inches deep with jagged rocks before you go diving in. And one of the other things that I found is that there are often early adopters in your church who will just like jump on a platform like TikTok and go crazy all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So those are great people to say, hey, you know, obviously you are on TikTok and you love it, which is great. And these are also sometimes the people who come and say like, hey, we should be on TikTok. I'm like, okay. I mean, obviously you are. So would you be willing to once a week create something for our church TikTok channel? And let's see, after 3 months, you know, that would be 10 or 12 posts at once a week. Let's see how much traction we're getting. And if people are starting to follow and people are starting to engage, and if things are trending that direction, then that's great. Yeah. And if they're not, then you really haven't taken any time off your hands, but you've also empowered somebody to get to represent your church. And, you know, I think there's value there too. So I love the idea of being in as many places as possible. But I also love the idea of empowering somebody who wants to be there for you.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I often get caught up with the thing and of got to chase down that, and it really just distracts me from the overall mission. And again, one is if you have a team, it really helps you kind of set aside that time to really look into it. But I like how you said, if you've got someone who is on TikTok or on YouTube, it maybe empower them in some way and then see how it kind of develops long term, but take that wait and see approach. Now, what would you say, last question here before we kind of wrap up a little bit, what would you say about quote unquote dying networks? You know, like, again, Instagram was not always as popular as it was. Facebook was so popular and it's still very popular, but I feel like there's a trend downward on that. Twitter, I love Twitter. And if you don't know this, I have a Twitter ebook out that outlines three really big advantages of why churches and ministers should be on Twitter. I just updated it. So there's a 2020 edition to it. So I did update it. But people will say to me all the time, Tom, Twitter's dead. You shouldn't be on Twitter. Like, how would you determine really for you in your church or your ministry what networks you should be on?
Yeah, so I think you have to start with the audience that you're trying to reach. And I was listening to, I've forgotten his name. There's a guy who did a rebrand with Sandals Church, and it was a big deal because they went with like no logo, right? So if you look up Sandals Church, you'll be able to see. I think they're somewhere in California.
Okay.
And what he was saying is that for their discussions about their target audience, is they're not trying to dissuade other people from participating with their church, but they're optimizing their marketing for a certain demographic. Hmm. So it's optimized for the demographic, but that doesn't exclude other demographics. So Nike optimizes for a certain demographic. Now that doesn't change that other people still wear Nike shoes.
Right.
But they optimize for a certain demographic. And I thought that was a great way of saying it. It's not that we're targeting somebody with the exclusion of somebody else, but we're optimizing for a certain demographic. So my first question would be, who is your demographic and where are they? Mm-hmm. So for instance, if you're a church in the suburbs, then next door is a cool kind of app that a lot of people in suburbs are engaging with.
Mm-hmm.
But people, you know, in Nowheresville in the middle of the country are not engaging with Nextdoor.
Right.
So do I think you should be on Nextdoor? Well, that's going to depend on who else in your community is using that.
Right.
So I think you have to really have that consideration. So maybe in a case like Twitter, you could decide, okay, we see that there are fewer people in our church who are using Twitter, but that doesn't change that there are more people in our community using Twitter, right? Or so what you could say is we're going to only use Twitter during things like Super Bowl, during America's Got Talent to cheer on our local contestant, during The Voice, during, you know, American Idol. All those things where live events and Twitter go hand in hand so perfectly,
yeah.
You could say in those cases, in those situations, we're going to participate on Twitter for those events.
Yeah.
Or you could say, you know, for instance, LinkedIn. It's pretty clear there aren't a lot of mommy blogs on LinkedIn. Okay. But when we're having a business meeting or when we're having a business speaker come in, or when we're having a business breakfast, or when we're going to be engaging with executives in the community, like at a mayor's breakfast, then we're going to get on and engage with LinkedIn about those topics. And so I think there has to be the first conversation is, who are we trying to reach and which channels are they on? And the second is, how do we create a strategy that's not only effective in reaching, but like realistic for the team that we have, the time that we have, the resources we have. And as you said earlier, saying yes to something means saying no to something. So what are we saying yes to and why are we saying yes to that? And I think the first conversation starts with, who are the people we're optimizing for and where are they engaging with social media?
Yeah, I love what you just said there. About when there's live events happening, that's where Twitter is so excellent. When people talk on Twitter all the time, and the hashtag, the power of the hashtag, and being a part of the conversation that is happening. So being a part of it when those big things are happening. And I love what you just said about LinkedIn business meetings. Again, that you're really optimizing it, so you don't have to be posting there all the time, but you are active on it and you're sharing different things in those appropriate moments. So I really love that idea that you had right there. So this has been fantastic, dude. So any other final thoughts that you would share in regards to social media teams, as we kind of move on?
Yeah, I think just to distill it all down, figure out where your audience is and who they are and how they're trying to engage, what kinds of things are they trying to engage with. And so that's in the who are you trying to reach section.
Mm-hmm.
And then the what are you trying to post section, really think about how can we create content and repurpose it in all different ways.
Yeah.
Right. So I created a file for free on my blog, adammclaughlin.net, called the Social Media Toolbox. And what it is it's an entire document of all the free social media tools that a church can use and how they can use it. Mm-hmm. So anybody can go there and get that. And that is focused on how do we take a piece of content and repurpose it in all different ways. Because we know creating the content is the time-consuming part. Repurposing it is the not the easy part, but it's the part that gets you the most bang for your buck.
Right.
So how can you repurpose content in multiple ways?
Dude, this is awesome. This has been fantastic. So definitely go to adammclaughlin.net. That's where you've got a lot of the stuff. You've got your eBooks on there as well. People can find you where on what social channels are you on a lot?
On all of them, always. Oh no, I'm just kidding.
TikTok?
No, I'm not on TikTok. I love Instagram and I love Twitter. So those are the two kind of the best places to hit me up. If somebody wants to just take a peek into what's going on in my world, those are some great places to do that. If you have a question or you want to chat, then track me down in the Digital Bootcamp Facebook group. Tom Pounder's group. And just if you have a question, just tag me in there and I'm happy to chat. And, you know, I'm part of like a lot of the different Facebook groups. Yeah. So you can always track me down or you can just go to adammclaughlin.net. My website, my blog has all of my social channels there and you can get a hold of me however you would like to.
Yeah, see, Adam's a great resource. He's very accessible. Whenever I need to get him, I think I use Facebook Messenger most for you than Twitter. But yes, you're very accessible. But before I let you go now, here, real quick, you do have a new project you're working on.
So
Tell us about that real quick because it's really cool.
Okay, my new project is called Sermon Clipper. So it's sermonclipper.com. And so what we figured out, my team and I figured out that the most valuable or the most engaged content on social media is video. And I hope that doesn't surprise any of your listeners because that's pretty well known. Okay, so then the access to that or the crossroads to that is that Pew Research shows us that 87% of millennials will consider the sermon when they visit a new church as to whether or not they'll return. Okay, so we know that the content they're looking for when somebody's looking for a church is the sermon. And we know the format that people are looking for in social media is video. So the crossroads to that is sermon videos. And the cool thing is most of our churches are already creating sermon videos. But just slapping up a 40-minute or 50-minute or a three-hour, depending on your church, type of video on Facebook is not going to get the traction you're looking for. And so what we do is every week we help churches take their sermon, we clip it into clips, and we provide it back in formats for social media, widescreen for Facebook, square for Instagram, vertical for IGTV, widescreen or square for Twitter. We can talk about how or why. And actually, you can ask Tom Pounder how or why to put your video on Twitter. And so sermonclipper.com, and we have packages that start at $197 a month. And we go all the way up to a package that includes we'll transcribe your sermon, create a blog post out of it, upload it to YouTube, put in the descriptions, do keyword research for your titles, all of that completely hands-off. That's not the $197 package, but we do start packages at $197 a month to help you repurpose your video for social media.
Yeah, and see here, this is why I will say you should really consider doing this for your church because, again, we all know video editing is time-consuming and getting it right. By giving someone else $197 a month, that might sound like a lot, but let's just think about it. That's 4 or 5 weeks a month that someone is taking your videos, chopping them up for you, so and then put them in the format that you want and that you need so that you can just post it on there. Again, when you're saying yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And by you doing all the video editing yourself, that's very time consuming. You can be doing other things better. And so sermonclippings.com, I will have the links to this on my show notes. It's a great resource and a great tool.
Yeah, sermonclipper.com. Clipper.com.
Sorry.
That's all right. I just want to make sure I get it right because I don't know what's at that other domain.
Yeah, no, sir, it's Sermon Clipper. I will have the right link on my show notes. That will be for sure. So, all right, Adam, as always, it's great having you on. Thanks so much for joining me, man.
Cool. Thanks, Tom, for having me on.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Adam. It's always great having him on. He's always got a ton of great insight, especially in regards to church communications and social media. But again, I'm telling you, the struggle is real. From what I do with social media, you know, chasing after the latest trends or the latest hot thing is always a stress for me because sometimes I've gone full in on that and then it's gone down the rabbit hole and it's just led me all this place and it really hasn't helped us at all in ministry. And so how do you know how to best be able to decide what to go on? Adam had some great insights there, but also if you have a team with you, you can investigate that without sacrificing other stuff. So having a social media team where you empower and equip them to really reach your congregation is really important. So I hope this conversation was helpful for you. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. What did you think? What have been your experiences? Let's continue this conversation. So definitely hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. And let's continue this conversation. I would love to hear your thoughts on this and what your experiences have been. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, go to iTunes or Spotify and subscribe to it. Or you can go to ymsidekick.com. There I've got the blogs, the podcasts, the vlogs, my Twitter ebook, and other great stuff like the Digital Bootcamp. You know, Digital Bootcamp's a free Facebook group designed to help ministers to grow in digital learnings and tech learnings and learn how to best use digital tools to help expand our reach and ministry in this world, this digital and online world that we live in. So you can get all that information at ymsidekick.com. Click on the Digital Bootcamp icon, and it'll take you to Facebook, and you can sign up there. And we'd love to have you part of the group. All right, heroes, well, thanks so much for joining me. I hope you have a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.